Joining me tonight is John Karabi from Dead Daisies.
Hello.
Thank you very much for sparing some time just before you go on for tonight's show in Newcastle.
Yep.
How's it going?
It's been good, man, other than this fucking cold. life is good. We're all blown away by the amount of support that we're getting for the band here in the UK. It's been unbelievable, so we're very happy about that. And, you know, the UK and Europe always get it right.
Yeah.
America is, like, kind of following suit slowly, but eventually
they get there. Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'd never caught you until last weekend down in Wales. And blown away. Absolutely blown away.
That's cool.
Fantastic show.
Yeah, we had a great time.
It looked like it. And that to me is it was a great thing when as a fan watching a band, you go, I want to have fun, but you guys need to look like you're having fun, and you certainly do that. You know?
Yeah, and it's, you know, I mean, honestly, we're not, you know, we're not the president of any country, you know, we're not trying to find a cure for cancer or anything. We play rock music, we travel the world like a bunch of fucking pirates, and we do our thing, and so it should be fun. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's obviously we want to give the audience a good time, you know, but we're just, I mean, without sounding cliched, you know what the state of the music industry is right now, you know, when you have bands like, you know, bands like Aerosmith and Kiss and all these legendary bands that are contemplating not even putting records out anymore because nobody's buying them.
Mm.
You know what I mean? The fact that we're still here and we're still traveling and we're still doing records and there's some interest, we're just grateful to be invited to the party. You know what I mean? It's like, we're having fun.
Yeah, so. I sort of always look at bands and go, you know what, I want to do what you're doing. So, and that's what came across, that you were doing something that I'd love to be doing and have a great time doing. And, you know, are you enjoying it as much now than before or than ever before? Or
yeah, I mean, I'll be 60 next year, so
no.
You know, I've been doing this since I was 16 or 17. Yeah. You know, and obviously there's things that are different, you know, obviously record sales and a lot of your musicians and your songwriters aren't making their money anymore as they used to do years ago, but you know, honestly, there's something to be said. Like, when you can come to, I think every show that we've done so far in the UK has been sold out or close to it. You know what I mean? So, you know, the fact that there's still interest, there's still people writing to us, there's still people coming to the shows. We honestly, you know, I said it earlier, we feel very blessed and we're just happy to be here. You know what I mean? I mean, honestly, if you go, you know, you go through the list of bands and stuff that you probably listened to growing up, you know what I mean? There's not a lot of bands can say that they're still doing it.
No.
You know what I mean? Now, even though Dead Daisies weren't around, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, we all were individually.
Yes.
You know, so the fact that we're all working together now and we're still doing something we love doing, we're happy. That's really it in a nutshell. You know what I mean?
And for the original concept of the band, bringing all these disparate parties together almost, it doesn't have a feel of that when you perform. It doesn't sound like that on record. It sounds like a proper band. That sounded awfully negative. It wasn't meant to, you know?
I think a lot of people nowadays, they get caught up in technology. You know what I mean? So we all live in different parts of the country.
Yep.
Doug and Marco live in L.A. Dean lives in Oregon. David lives in New York. I live in Nashville. And the easiest thing for us to do would be write a riff and just email it to the other guys and everybody work on it and then just get together. And you know, but we don't do it that way. Like, I think a big part of the sound is the fact that we all sit down and we go, all right, we're doing a record, so let's get together for a week in New York or Nashville or wherever, meet in the middle. We go do our thing, and we write and together as a unit, and then immediately we go into the studio together as a unit, and they're all helping me with my vocal things. Like, if I have a glitch and I can't think of a word or a sentence or whatever, one of those guys will step up and say something or throw some things at me, and it's the same with Doug with his guitar solos. As great of a guitar player as he is, he'll do a guitar solo, and he'll come to me or Marco or David or Dean and go, hey, what do you guys think of this solo? You know, but everybody's cool. Like, you can go, yeah, it's great, or, you know, it's really cool, but I would do this here. So everybody's open to it, and I think it has more of a band feel. It's a very coherent, cohesive unit. It's everybody's contributing equally to the end result. I think that's what you're hearing.
I totally agree.
You know, and I think a lot of bands nowadays, they don't do it that way. They do the whole, I got this riff, email it to the singer, can you write something to this? Or, you know, and then they email it back and send it to the bass player. And it's going to sound disjointed. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, I don't know.
You said something there that, as a wannabe musician, I've been playing guitar since I was very small. I've never written songs until very recently, started writing ideas down. But when you as the band are writing, what you said then, do you write on, almost on the fly?
Is it Pretty much, yeah.
You know, we'll go in a room, we'll see what happens, and even lyrics come that way.
There's no, when we get together, there's no finished songs.
Right.
And, you know, we'll just pull a phone out and somebody will have a riff.
Yeah.
You know, down, 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 da da down, da 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 down, da. Oh, that's great. And we all start jamming on it. And then we'll kind of get a map.
Uh-huh.
It's loose, but it's a map. And, all right, this is the intro. This is the, you know. And then we go in and we start working on it. While they're tracking, I'm in the room and I'm scatting ideas to them. And then Marty Fredrickson, our producer, he's also contributing. And once we get the map, it's sorted out. And then I may sing something that sparks them to go in a different direction. But the songs are still developing as we're tracking them. And then once we got them to where it's a set map.
Yeah.
Then I go into another room and I just listen to it, vibe out, and I just start writing lyrics, or we all kind of chip in. And like I said, there was a couple songs where I was just like, I don't have anything. Like, you know, and David Lowy would go, we've got a long way to go and no time to get there. Ah, okay. And then we wrote Long Way to Go. You know what I mean? And it's just, we all help each other. And I think that's why it sounds fun. It sounds cohesive. It sounds like a band because everybody's putting their two cents in everywhere. Mm. You know what I mean?
The other thing that strikes me about the records, because and the Shells do the cover versions, and they don't sound like they sound like you guys doing your versions of the covers that you do, which I always like. I've always been a sucker for cover versions but it sounds to me as though you're picking the songs that give you a thrill because they were the songs that fired you up in the past.
Yeah.
Would that be a fair thing to say?
Yeah, I mean, to me, like when we did Join Together on the last record, Make Some Noise, I always said at some point, I want to record this Who song. And if you really go back and listen to the original version, like the whole song is like, I get the lyrics, it's a sing-along, the whole audience gets involved in it. But the other thing too was there's a riff. There's a guitar bass riff that comes in on like the second verse. And I always thought it was like, it's not heavy, like Pantera heavy, no. Like what a lot of people call heavy now. But there's just something powerful about that boom. Bow, da, 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 down, bow, down, da. And I always, like, that would come in and I go, fuck, that is so heavy.
Mm.
So when we were looking for songs, I said, you know, I don't know if it'll work for us or not, but this riff is fucking heavy. And as soon as we started jamming it, everybody was like, yes, this is killer. You know what I mean? So a lot of it is like whether or not we can daisify it.
Yeah.
And the other one is, you know, they take into consideration like how I sound singing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Fortunate Son is another one. Like, I think a lot of people have always said that I have a very raspy voice, and there were similarities between like my voice and John Fogerty. Mm. You know, I think it would be killer, you know, whatever. So we did that one. But it's, you know, these are all songs that we grew up listening to. Mm. I remember skipping school and going with a roll of quarters, playing pinball and popping quarters in a jukebox. So it was great. And shut up, Dean.
Yes, sir.
That was very quiet. For a drummer, that was really quiet.
Not bad, huh?
Hit the green button.
I'm going to leave that in.
Oh, green
I'm
button. Green
I'm going to leave that in.
Green button. You got it.
And then hit it again on your way out.
Yes, sir.
Please.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you.
Can you remember the first time you heard, or the first band you saw or heard that made you sit up and go, that, I want to do that?
The Beatles.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I said, I'm almost 60. I wasn't aware of them when they first came over because, fuck, I think they came in 64. I was four. 5 years old.
Yeah.
So I kind of got into them later, like around 60, as they were breaking up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would go back and listen to, you know, I Want to Hold Your Hand and She Loves You. And then it was funny. I remember my mom and dad were divorced. My dad remarried and his second wife had Rubber Soul. And I just remember hearing Girl and In My Life. like just these songs, and I'm like, fuck, looking at the cover, and I'm, you know, but being just old enough to realize that they were maybe a little stoned on the cover as well.
Just a bit.
But just listening to the songs, and then I heard they got me Abbey Road, and there's two songs on Abbey Road where something, I heard it, I didn't know what I was hearing, I was still really kind of young to be able to dissect music, but I just remember hearing Paul McCartney sing Oh Darling, and there's that, you know, that reverb he's got on the verse, Oh Darling, and then, but that middle section where, and he kicks his voice into some weird overdrive.
Mm.
And I just remember hearing it and going, oh, this is amazing. Like, I really don't know what I'm listening to right now, but I want to do this.
Mm.
I want to do this. And he does it twice on that record. He does it on Oh Darling, side two, he does it on Golden Slumbers. Same thing. Once it was away to get back home and in golden slow, you know, and he goes into this fucking, and I was like, I want to do that.
Brilliant.
Well, I want to do that.
Thank you ever so much, John. That's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you for the time. It's been perfect.
Thank you.